Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction industry, covering everything from the big mega haunts to the tiny home haunts. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just aficionado, we aim to be the podcast for you. It's a lofty goal, I admit, but it's a goal. It's nice to have goals in life, I believe.
Yes.
Well, how are you doing, Crystal? It's been a week since we sat down and done haunty stuff.
Really?
I know, it's like it's in the podcast name or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
This crazy
tell.
Thing.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yep. Everything
crazy
going
hours,
well?
But, yeah.
Crazy
Working
hours,
lots.
Yeah, interfering with just about everything, including this podcast. But we're making do and struggling on because that's the kind of soldiers of fortune we are.
Because we like you guys.
Yeah, we like all 12 of you. We like you very much. We appreciate your feedback you've been sending us. We've been appreciating everything. So keep it coming, and we will try to keep kicking ass for you.
Yep.
Yeah, because we've got a big episode this week.
It's divisible by four.
It's episode 20. 20 by four is five. That means we're doing the news. Yeah, we got, and we actually have a lot of news to go through. I am quite surprised. And it's okay, when we do these show notes, you and I, the news podcasts are the ones we prepare more for than any other.
Right.
Because it's literally tomorrow after we record this, when this is going live, we're going to be starting gathering links for episode 24.
Yeah, I'm in a lot of Facebook groups I get interesting stories from.
We're in Facebook groups. I've got some Google searches going. I've got people emailing me stuff.
Yay,
and
people.
Facebooking me stuff. So, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, we've got all this, but, we always, we have, a Facebook chat between us where we're sending these back and forth, and we ended up getting, a dozen links just between us.
Yeah.
And then we found more that people didn't tell us about that I had to find on my own, and so...
Darn
them making me work and, actually come up with stuff for this podcast.
Yeah.
Hell, the audacity of some people not to give me all the information on the silver platter. How dare they? But yes, we condensed it down. I think we have 8 stories, but there's actually a fair amount we left off of the show notes because we just did not have room.
Right. Maybe we can include them in the description or something.
Yeah, maybe. We'll put them somewhere, I'm sure. I mean, most of the other ones were the ones we usually throw in as bonuses, actual haunted places up for sale and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, the dividing line for the record when we do the news, and we've sort of talked this one out, is we will talk about, real haunted stuff as long as there's some kind of business element to it.
Yeah.
Because then it's a haunted attraction. If it's a business element on attraction, either that or it makes us laugh like the dumbasses that they got trapped in the haunted building in England.
Yeah.
We could not put that one, and that wasn't happening.
Right. That's kind of like one of the last ones today, if we get to it.
Yes, I'm sure we will get to it. We have an hour.
Yes?
We have an hour, and we will, I'm almost sure, get to it if we can. But we're starting off this week with a couple of bummers, honestly. A couple of sad and scary stories. So, first off, Disneyland Paris, or Euro Disney, or whatever the hell it's called now. I don't remember.
Right.
Suffered a tragedy when a technician was electrocuted before the ride opened this month.
Right. He had apparently worked there since 2002.
He worked for the park. We'll assume
not all the
time in that attraction.
Well, yeah, but it seems like he had plenty of time to be trained on how not to get killed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is very, very sad news.
And the death was ruled an accident.
Yes.
Worth noting. It was not ruled a homicide. Though you have to admit, that would be a great story for the Haunted Mansion.
It would be.
A murder taking place. But no, he was ruled an accident, a tragic accident. And it happened sometime between 8 or 9 a.m. local time before the park opened. So there were no guests inside when it happened. is the other good news.
This and
is
they open. Found him before it opened.
Yeah, found him before it opened. The ride was closed for the day while they investigated and figured out what happened. This is all being reported by Sky News, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the type of stuff that keeps me awake at night when we're working on and building the haunt and doing things like that. It's just that accidents are so easy.
Yeah, you just have to really pay attention and stay focused. And
yeah, I mean, and it's like you said, this guy had been working in this one place since 2002. He was no rookie at what he was doing.
Right, it's just really odd.
It is odd. But, you know, that's all it takes is one momentary... And I'm not blaming the dude at all.
Oh, no.
We've all done this. We've just all been fortunate enough to not have it, you know, cost us our lives. And I know that because we're all sitting here talking about it.
Yeah.
We've all had those lapses of judgment. I mean, we've all got stories of the times we were injured building our attractions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've taken some nasty cuts and bruises and other things, too. But I've, you know... And
yeah, it's usually referred to lovingly as first blood of the season.
Yeah, and maybe it shouldn't be that way. I remember the scariest moment for me was we were doing teardown on a scene.
Right.
And we were on opposite sides of a wall from one another, taking down a 2x4.
I don't know if this was me helping you.
Oh, it might have been Kyle or someone else.
I think it was one of... Yeah, because I think I was at work when this happened, but yeah, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, but the long and short of it is he did something on that side of the wall that caused the board to fall straight down on top of my head. And I got a good bonk from the 2x4.
Yeah.
And that part I'm cool with. That's not going to do... It was only falling like 3 or 4 feet. It's not going to do anything lethal. But it had a giant flipping screw sticking through the board.
Yeah.
When it fell. And it missed me by inches. So, yeah, these things happen. And these things can happen. And we've all screwed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all had lapses in judgment.
Yeah.
It's just, we've been... Everyone that's listening to this podcast and has worked in a haunt is lucky.
Actually, I think that might have either been my dad or Jesse. Because it was a while ago.
I don't remember who it was. But I remember that happening. And I remember being pretty shaken by it for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, we've all had the moments. Be careful, for the love of God, guys.
Yes, and now we know to screw from the bottom up into the boards above it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why we weren't doing that before, but we sure as heck do it now.
No, it's a lesson learned.
Yeah.
Safety
first.
But speaking of safety first, this is just connected. This one I frankly think is a little more dumb to be between you and me.
But see,
okay, let's tell the story first.
Let's tell the story and then we'll get into...
Do you want to tell the story?
Sure. In New Zealand, there was a school musical. They were putting on Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, which is an interesting choice for a high school.
It is. You know, it's a musical. It's a great musical. It's very interesting choice, as you noted.
Next week they did Rocky Horror. No.
No.
Making that one up.
But basically... They were using, you know, the story of Sweeney Todd is of a barber who shaves people very close and sometimes slits their throats and kills them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get cooked into pies.
Yes.
So.
And apparently two boys were sent to the hospital on opening night because the razor that they were using was... not adequately blunted. There's a lot of confusion about what happened.
So, I read the article and it seemed like it was they were using a real razor.
Which is,
why would you do that? These are high schoolers. You don't even do that in haunts, you know, pro haunts. Just don't. So, it was a real razor. It was dull. But obviously not dull enough.
Yes.
And then they had wrapped the blade in duct tape because that... And I mean, if you're going to wrap the blade in duct tape, why not just use
a fake one?
Because it's not going to look like metal anyway. And I don't think that it was the boys being stupid.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I think it was the person who picked that prop.
Yeah, I do not, for the life of me, understand why you would start with a real shaving razor, probably one of the sharpest things any human being can buy at Walmart, yeah. and start there for a prop and try to dull that. Because like you said, once you put the tape on it, once you do all that work to it, it's not going to look real anyway.
Yeah.
If you know, you can buy, I know you on various prop sites, you can buy just completely blunt razors.
You can buy plastic ones.
Yeah, you can buy plastic ones. You can, I mean,
you can buy plastic ones that are coated with the metal spray paint
yeah.
to make it look like real, you know?
There was no practical reason I see to start with a real razor, but they did.
Not unless, you know, it was like, this guy is, maybe this guy was really bad at planning, and so he was like, last minute, oh, I forgot the main instrument.
The most important prop in the damn play.
Yeah. I should probably do something about that. Look, here's one.
Runs to whatever the New Zealand equivalent of Walmart is. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way that could work. And now, the interesting thing that they said, well, first off, we should say the two boys are fine.
Yes.
They were sent to the hospital, but they were released.
Overnight.
They were doing well. Apparently, it was, like a lot of razor cuts, more ghastly than dangerous.
Right. Yes. The audience definitely got a show they didn't plan
for. I'm glad I'm not. You know, I'm an old school like ECW wrestling fan. I know what you can do with a razor blade when you're trying to put on a show.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
It is.
So, yeah, I can imagine the show they got pretty well. But the interesting part to me was that they obviously didn't have to play the next night.
Right.
But then they resumed it.
They wanted to resume it on...
It's unclear if they did. Yeah. But they said they were going to try
to. Yeah, because it had an opening night of Wednesday. They closed Thursday and he wanted to reopen it on Friday.
Yeah.
He had hoped that they'd be able to. Which just gives you an insight into the mind of this person.
Yeah, it's...
Who's setting it up and running it. And I don't think he should be in charge of kids from the little bitty bit that I know about.
The
that
very
mind.
Tiny little bit.
Yes, the very tiny.
Yeah, I mean, as a haunter, you know, I don't understand the use of a real razor. It doesn't make any sense to me. To even start there.
No.
Because there's no way you can make it safe. Because yeah. the very purpose of a razor is to cut through whatever you put next to it. So you wrap duct tape, it's eventually going to wear its way through the duct tape. You put cellophane, it's going to cut through cellophane eventually. The way it became dangerous was because it's a sharp instrument that cuts through things.
Yeah.
There you go. Mystery solved.
That's its whole purpose.
It said in the article, we have no idea how this blade became dangerous. I'm like, I can figure this one out from half a world away.
Scooby Dooby Doo.
Exactly. Somebody needs to rip off the rubber mask of that dude. I'm just... All right, well, let's get away from all the pain and tragedy.
Yeah.
And move into something that's at least happier. You know, I love the headline here. I'm just going to read the headline because we're reporting from this is from the Chicago Tribune. Suit settled alleging clowns attacked teen with sex toys at haunted house.
Yes, that is a fun headline.
I just read that word for word, and I don't think we have anything to add to the story.
There you go. You know,
we're done. We're moving on. No. Yeah, we never got to report on this because this happened before we started the podcast.
Right.
And but I remember learning about it as we were researching news
yes.
and things as we were going. Because I had not heard about the podcast until, I mean, I had heard about the lawsuit until after we started the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, because it just...
Until we started looking for this kind of news.
Yeah,
because
even though I like casually keep an ear to the... Always kept a casual ear to the ground.
Yeah.
This is the type of stuff that only seems to make local news.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why with a headline like that, CNN should be all over it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But regardless, the incident took place in, I believe it was 2014. No, it was 20, what year was it? Do you have the year the incident took place?
No, but it was at the Massacre Haunted House in Montgomery, Illinois.
Yes, it took place in 2014. I was right the first time. I should not doubt myself so much.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it took place in 2014 at the Massacre Haunted House in Montgomery, Illinois, which, for those that suck at Illinois geography, everyone in that room's hand should be raised, is near Chicago, which is why the Chicago Tribune is reporting it. Ta-da! The allegation is that a mom and her teen daughter were going out to the car in the parking lot, and two employees, Robert Keller and another who remains unidentified even now...
I wonder if that's because he's underage.
I don't know. It says John Doe. Usually they will list even underage defendants in these situations, especially if it's a criminal case.
Yeah.
But said that two people dressed as clowns attacked them with vibrating sex toys in the parking lot.
Yeah. You know, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall for this.
Yeah.
Just because it sounds like... I don't know. That's just a great image to have in your head.
great or terrible, depending upon your feeling about clowns. I'm just...
Yeah.
But basically, the Keller, the one that's named, had already pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct and was sentenced to 30 hours of community service.
Right.
The terms of the settlement, as these usually are, have not been disclosed, but the haunt operators admitted no wrongdoing.
Yeah.
So, I remember when we first read about this, my first thought was, A, is this real?
Yeah.
Because you have to admit, I'm not, like, instantly suspicious of most haunt lawsuits.
Right.
But that, the headline sounds made up.
It does.
I'm just saying, the headline sounds made up. But apparently it did happen. Or at least there was enough proof to get a conviction.
Right.
But the long and short of it is, this goes to back to actor training and...
And what's appropriate and what's not in setting those boundaries.
Yeah.
Because, well, and here's the thing, is that because they settled, I do think that they were employees. But I think it could have been easily made the case that they were just two guys dressed as clowns that showed up in the parking lot and started chasing people around with vibrators.
Now, this is a problem we've actually... Not this exact problem.
No, but...
I should be clear, vibrators were never involved.
No, it was our you know... So, our big pet peeve about haunted houses, or a lot of haunted houses, is that our neighbors down the street decided that they were going to help out with the haunt one year.
You didn't do the air quotes around help out. I'm really disappointed.
They can't see them. I thought them really hard.
Okay, she's thinking them for you, I promise.
But, yeah, so they came by with a chainsaw towards the line and scared a lot of the customers away.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the worst part about it for us... wasn't just that they scared people out of the line and some of them never came back. I mean, we're a free haunt.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's not money, it's not food out of my mouth or anything.
Customers is a loose term.
Yeah. Guests would be the more appropriate one. But the problem I had with it is the guy in charge was actually scaring people into the street and scaring people into our light display, which is, believe me, our light display, and I rigged this thing, is like the least safe place you can be running, because it is like one trip hazard after another.
Yeah, we've gotten better, but that year especially, it was just not...
Yeah, well, I mean, and even at its best, it's still going to be a trip hazard. Still lights on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean,
still cords on the ground.
There's going to be cords on the ground, lights on the ground. It's a trip hazard. It's no matter... You can't not have it be a trip hazard.
Yeah.
That's why we forbade people from going into it.
Yeah, and put up a little fence around it, border around it.
Exactly, and he was scaring them into it. And into the road, and that was slowing down traffic. Someone nearly got hit by a car, and that, you know, we take safety so damn seriously. To have someone, not a part of our crew, not a part of our haunt family at all, undermine that.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think we had even spoken to these neighbors before. I think that what had happened was
we'd spoken to them a couple of times, but not in many years.
And it wasn't they about haunty stuff.
No, they worked at a local hardware store.
Yeah. Basically, they...
I know who they are.
Oh, okay. Well, no, basically, they... I think that they came through the haunt and then decided to go home and get chainsaws to help. And, you know, if that were the case, in this situation where these guys just showed up, then
the haunt should not be liable.
Exactly. And I have to wonder if that's... I have to wonder if that played any role or if these were actual employees.
Yeah. The impression, I guess, they were employees in this case. But it's interesting because we've talked about the other lawsuit that dealt with a woman who tripped and fell in the parking lot being chased out. And the judge there laughed the case and bounced it right out of court.
Yeah.
This really shows about the boundaries of haunting. People trip and fall in haunts, especially when they're running in against the rules, but they don't consent to be assaulted by sex toys by clowns.
Right. And especially if it's at an all ages haunt. I mean, that's just not appropriate to have on the grounds, probably.
Yeah, I would agree. And that this brings a whole lot of questions we'll never get answers to, because like I said, the settlement's not disclosed. Who brought the vibrators?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a sentence I never thought I would utter in my life.
So, unless the owners of Massacre Haunted House in Montgomery, Illinois would like to contact us...
They will not do that.
...and be on the podcast to talk about anything.
I am pretty flipping sure they cannot talk about it.
Yeah. No, I am
very flipping sure they can't do that. So, yeah, but long and short of it is, the suit is settled. The haunt, to the best I was able to determine, is still in business and will be open in 2016. So it seems like they're going to, whatever deal they arranged, ensured their survival. It seems like everyone's happy. It seems like it's a win-win, but it's still a terrible situation. And there's a lot of unknowns about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, it's another cautionary tale.
Yeah, I bet that they have a talk with their staff.
Oh,
this
hell.
Coming year. That says, hey, look, we didn't think this was ever going to be an issue. We didn't think we were going to have to spell this out or put, you know, Superman cape does not allow you to fly.
Yeah, a few new rules went into the actor handbook there, I'm pretty sure.
No kidding.
Yeah, and God, it's just, the story sounded so crazy when I heard it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm usually not this mistrusting of people who have complaints against, in general, but especially against haunts, because stuff happens in haunts. I recognize weirdness happens all the time. I did not expect, but clowns with vibrating sex toys just...
Yeah.
That sounds a little far-fetched, but apparently it's exactly what happened, so...
There you go.
Well, let's shift gears and talk about Halloween Horror Nights. This one's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm actually really happy about this one. Halloween Horror Nights, and that's Universal Orlando, for those playing along at home, have revealed their first haunted house theme.
Ooh.
Now, they're doing, like, this trickle release thing.
Right.
Where they're going to do, like, one... So, we'll probably be doing the other themes in future news episodes, because this... I'm always excited, because Universal has the rights to so many properties.
Yeah.
They can do
things... So, you never know what they're going to pull out.
Yeah. I mean, because it's, like, most haunt themes... Yeah. You don't have the Universal Monster Library.
Right.
They do... And the first one is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I thought every haunt was a Texas Chainsaw Massacre themed haunt.
Oh, that's just because most of them have chainsaws.
But I've got to say, if I go to this haunt and there's no chainsaw, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, I think that if it's in the name, you probably have to have
usually
it.
It's usually because I'm as a haunt, usually when I see the chainsaw, like, that's the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Derpa, derpa, derpa. I'll get moving. But this time you'd be like, what? No chainsaw? What the hell? Screw you guys. I'm on my money back. It's in the damn name.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're doing a Texas Chainsaw Massacre theme. And I don't honestly know if that's been done at Universal Horror Nights. But it's definitely not a theme I've heard of being done a lot. Like recently. So... I am excited about this. This is, I think it's great.
I think it's really interesting, the slow trickle release.
Yeah.
I think that's the more interesting part of the story, is that they're trying to get people interested now and then keep the interest up until, you know, Halloween Horror Nights opens.
Well, that says something about the potency and the power of Halloween and the haunted attraction industry.
Right.
When Universal, because, you know, Universal is no marketing slouches. These guys know their stuff, right?
Exactly.
They are investing enough time and resources into promoting this to not only do videos and productions for every single house in their little haunted village that they do. But they're starting the leaks in April.
Okay, so what I just heard is that we need to start making videos for our haunted house and leaking them.
Yeah, we do. Now. I agree. I agree. I agree completely. And you should too, dear listener.
Yeah.
Get some interest going now, even if you don't have it.
Because this is a huge company. And they've got a great marketing team. So if they're starting now, then why not follow suit?
Yeah, I mean,
because they're successful.
It's a little bit like, you know, Hardee's used to say that they gave up on, like, hiring the people to pick locations.
Yeah.
They would just find where the McDonald's opened and try to open as close to it as they could. Or how, you know, GameStop just opens up near a Walmart.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but you know what? It worked.
Yeah.
Sometimes it pays money to take the cue from the people who know, and they definitely know. And so, yeah, they're starting in, like, mid-April with these releases. Man, I can imagine for people that are into Halloween Harness, the buzz by the end of it is going to be extreme.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. So, yeah, I'm silly stoked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many houses they have? I don't know either, and I should have
looked. I've got friends who have worked
there. Yeah, I know. I just realized I do not know how many houses, and I'm pretty sure it's
changed. We obviously have not been.
No, we have not.
We know people who love it and who have worked it, but no, we don't actually know who. We've never actually been.
Okay, I've actually got the full
they
list.
Also have their calendar up. They're going to be open from September 16th through October 31st.
Well, yeah.
So mid-September for their starting of their run.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Last year they ran 10 full haunted attractions plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 scare zones. And a couple of shows too. Including one of the shows was Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure. Okay, I've never been able to go to Halloween Horror Nights. I'm in the wrong damn state, basically.
Yeah.
If I lived in Florida, you bet your furry ass I'd be there. But yeah, it's interesting looking at last year's shows. Last year's shows, I'll read them all real fast, were Freddy vs. Jason, Insidious, The Walking Dead, which we talked about that one previous news episode, and how that's being made into a full-time year-round attraction. The Purge, American Werewolf in London, Body Collectors, Run, Blood, Sweat, and Fears. That sounds horrible. Asylum in Wonderland 3D. Jack Presents 25 Years of Monster Mania. So it's 9. I apologize. I miscounted. I thought Jack Presents 25 Years was 1 and Monsters of Mayhem was another, because the way this is laid out. But I'm curious about something. I'm looking. They have done Texas Chainsaw Massacre, according to this article, and this is Wikipedia, so all caveats apply. They did Texas Chainsaw Massacre themed in 2007, and I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So they did it once in 2007, and it is the lead-off show this year. Pretty flipping cool.
It is, and you can already make your reservations, and they have package deals.
Yes, they do. Oh, man.
In fact, you can get, you know, 3 nights at the hotel with a 2-day park pass.
For how much?
$209 an adult.
Wow. That's actually not bad. Maybe we should go in mid-September when they first open.
We'll look into it.
We'll look into it. All right. Well, we got to talk more about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We got to move on. We're getting sidetracked.
Yes. Not enough chainsaw.
Not enough chainsaw. Yes, the iconic gas station in Bastrop, Texas is being renovated, remodeled, upgraded, all those nice words, and turned into a horror-themed barbecue pit. This is an article from Rolling Stone by Daniel Kreps we're reporting from. And it's being called the We Slaughter Barbecue.
Ha ha!
Filmed in front of a live ostrich.
Yeah.
Their aim is to build a horror barbecue resort. That's 3 words that I don't know how well they belong together.
Yeah, and this is the gas station from the movie, we should say.
That's what
in
I
case
said.
You didn't pick
it's
that
in
up.
Bastrop, Texas.
Yeah.
And for the record, Bastrop, Texas, not far from Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We actually passed it on the way back home from South by Southwest, though it's actually a few miles off of 71, the way you would actually be going into Austin. So it's a little bit off the beaten path, but only a few miles.
Yeah.
But what do you think about this idea of the horror barbecue resort with little campers out back, people can stay the night and all that? What do you think?
I think we're going to have to get some reviews on this. I think if the barbecue's good, it would be... Because, I mean, Texas has great barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, well...
So you got to start with the food.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know. Are they going to have Leatherface serving barbecue? Is Universal going to go after them for...
No, they said in the article they're going to have memorabilia and so forth from it.
Okay, so it's going to be like
a Planet Hollywood type thing.
Planet Hollywood, but for Texas Chainsaw. I wonder if they're going to scare you at night.
You know, I actually would think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yes,
but you and I are kind of weirdos that way.
Yeah, we kind of. We run a haunted attraction podcast.
Yes.
Yes, we're normal.
Among this group, we may be.
Maybe. But yeah, no, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I was reading, this gas station has tried to be a bajillion-y things since the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it's never succeeded.
Is that the technical term for
yes,
it?
Yes, a bajillion-y. Yes.
Okay.
I counted. It was a bajillion T on the nose, actually. it's tried to do all these different things, including being a barbecue restaurant, a gas station, and finding a bunch of ways to capitalize on the movie. It's never succeeded. And I think the reason is, it's just out of the way from anything. Yeah. I mean, Bastrop already is not exactly on the beaten path. The only reason we passed through Bastrop is because going from Austin back down to I-10 toward Houston and all that.
Right.
It's the most direct way. But if you're going from like Houston to San Antonio, San Antonio, that's just down I-10.
Yeah.
And if you go from San Antonio to Austin, that's a different highway. I forget which one it is. So, yeah, it's already not very on the way to anything. And then it's off the beaten path from there.
Right.
The only reason to go there is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And honest to God, I love the film, don't get me wrong. I don't know if that film holds enough sway to get people out to that rural part of Texas by itself.
Yeah. I'm hoping that people cosplay there.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential, but I just don't know.
I mean that the customers show up in cosplay.
Oh, they better, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
You know, like a Rocky Horror thing where they show up as like the victims.
Yes.
And the...
when they're slicing the meat up, go,
ah! Exactly. Yeah. That could be a lot
that
of fun.
That wasn't a real scream.
No, it wasn't. No, this mic clips when Crystal tries to actually scream.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get away from Texas Chainsaw Massacre and do a back-to-back Disney.
All right.
Well, Walt Disney World is getting into the escape room business. No, not in the way I would have anticipated.
Okay.
Well, okay. This is according to Theme Park Universe by Josh Young. Disney is launching a series of escape rooms. That part makes perfect flipping sense.
Right.
But they're not open to the public.
Yeah.
They are for executives. The rooms are exclusives, rather, for the corporate groups that rent the Disney meeting space.
Right.
So, if you do one of those team building field trips to Disney, which some people do, you can do an escape room as part of that package.
Right.
And the long and short of it is my understanding from watching the videos and reading the Disney propaganda advertisement, I'm just calling it. They don't call it Mauschwitz for nothing.
Oh, Jonathan.
Okay. I'm just saying they treat their animators terribly. But
okay.
That's what we've heard from others. Okay.
I'm
not exaggerating.
I do not support his views in any way because I have not done fact checks.
Okay,
there you go.
Fair enough. But the point of the matter is, according to what I read, it's pretty much a standard escape room. And that your large corporate team will be broken up into smaller teams. You'll be delivered to separate themed rooms where actors will either work to help or hinder you, whether they are allies or villains based upon the overarching plot.
Right. Now, the thing that I got from this was that it looked more like you were in a movie.
Yeah.
Than the ones that we've been to.
Yeah.
Because the one that we went to was kind of static. There wasn't an actor in the room with us.
And then some do have actors in room.
Right.
That part changes, but you are right. I mean, this is, I mean, the only way to describe it is Disney-esque.
Yes, it's an immersive.
Very big, it's huge, it's immersive.
Yeah, there are big sets, there are, you know, costumed out people that really good costumes.
Really, go to the link off of this and look at the video for it.
Right.
It's really interesting because you see like a couple of, you know, friendly characters. Have you seen that team of villains, including the really hot chick that reminds me of Bellatrix or Strange from Harry Potter movies? Helena Bonham Carter. Hey, we don't have Helena Bonham Carter this week. Sweeney Todd, now this.
Yeah. Ah,
I must have Helena Bonham Carter on the brain. That is not a surprise.
When do you not?
But yeah, the point remains. You have the heroes and the villains and your group and their awkward court. And that's the comedy of it to me was that it's like they have these elegantly costumed heroes and elegantly costumed villains and these meticulously detailed sets.
Right.
And then you have these people walking around in khakis and polo shirts looking lost.
Yeah. Yes.
Looking very out of place. But
some of these things do not belong here.
Yes, and it's the people who paid money to go. But no, it's interesting to see them get into the escape room game.
Right.
But they did it in a pretty unorthodox way. Like I said, not open to the general public. But then again, do you think Disney, with how crowded and busy is, do you think they can actually have an open to the public escape room?
I don't know.
That would be tough, because capacity in an escape room is limited.
Yeah.
I mean, if you figure a game can have, say, 8 people, and it's an hour long, you have a capacity of between 64 and 72 people per day, depending upon how often you run the game.
I wonder how difficult it is to qualify to play the game. Like, do you have to have a business license and tax ID? Or can you say, hey, my church group or my...
I don't know. Good question.
My haunt family want to come out.
Yeah, good question. You know, I don't know.
Can I just sign up me and a bunch of friends, basically, without giving any proof that we're a business?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because if that's the case, well, then it's not that different from just signing up in advance for a slot at a traditional kind.
Yeah, but I'd imagine it's also very expensive because the Disney meeting experience is ridiculously expensive. That's why only large corporations do it.
Yeah.
Typically, but or Silicon Valley startups, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Companies with, frankly, more money than sense sometimes. But yeah. No, but it's cool, and the video is really interesting. Definitely check it out.
Yep.
All right, shifting gears one more time. Now to the Hollywood Studios, which in my day, we called it MGM Studios, but they had a little falling out over the licensing there. And the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror is getting a new attraction, a bar.
Woohoo!
You know, Disney has been working hard, even in just for as long as I can remember, on shedding its kiddie image for its park.
Yeah, but I don't know why. I mean, I think it's perfectly fine to have areas that are designated for adults.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you should change the whole image because families go there. That's the whole reason.
But that's just that they want to make sure that mom and dad know they get to have fun at Disney too.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of an important thing, and this is something I think all haunts can learn from, is if you're catering to families, it pays to make sure the adults have fun, too.
Yeah. And in the haunt world, and you also need to keep in mind, if you're catering to whole families, you have to have something for the young ones.
The really young ones, yes.
And someone who, and, you know, people who don't necessarily want to do the haunty, scary, scary part.
Now, those of us who remember the attraction well will recall that much of the attraction centers around this place called the Tip Top Club, which is a fictional bar at the top of the Tower of Terror that people leave and then descend from and are never seen again.
Okay.
In this, like, Flapper era. Unfortunately for all of us, the bar is not the Tip Top Club.
Of course not.
Of course. And that would have made too flipping much sense.
Yeah.
No, it will not be the Tip Top Club. It will not be the balcony overlooking everything. Instead, it will just be a small bar located at the exit across from the PhotoPass area.
Yeah, which basically means stay here and drink until you think that buying the photo of you going down is good. Or, it's a good idea.
Or until you think the prices in the gift shop are reasonable for anything. It's also near the gift shop.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah, basically, that's what I'm hearing, too. Yeah, you know, Disney is known for its overpriced drinks and its overpriced food. Even though it's sort of a false reputation in my memory and recollection of it.
Yeah.
It was theme park priced, but it was not like eye-popping theme park price. It's not like, you know, trying to buy sodas at many Major League Baseball stadiums or something.
Yeah.
Like that where a beer costs $20 or whatever. You know, it's crazy. But I'm trying to fathom what the prices at this bar will be like.
Right.
But you know, I've got to say on another question I have, and this is what I ask as a New Orleanian. You know what the question is? Can I get a Go Cup?
Yeah.
Because if I can't get a Go Cup, screw this.
Right.
I don't feel like sitting in the Tower of Terror. Granted, the Tower of Terror is a great ride. I do recommend the ride.
But that's just it. This is after the ride. This is after you felt your stomach, you know, leave your body.
Yeah, and this is the missed opportunity here. You should be catching the people going into the attraction and need the courage to actually get on it.
Oh, no, because then you would have people who would instantly, you know, just get sick.
Well, my favorite part about Tower of Terror, and I'm minor ride spoiler here, is that it does the Disney tradition of trolling its guests. Because you'll get on it, it'll take you through like this little, it's like not just straight up and down, actually it's like a whole ride to it, right? And you go through the ride a bit, and then you hit a pretty nasty drop, and then it's like, oh, that was it? We're done? Oh, that wasn't so bad. Ride continues, and then the real one hits later. So, an interesting fact, I learned this about Tower of Terror not that long ago. The actual fall of Tower of Terror is only about half the height it's advertised as. It advertises, I think, a 130-foot drop, a 13-story drop. It only drops you about half that, but they basically rocket-propel your butt so you reach speeds the equivalent of falling 13 stories.
So they grapple-hook you to the ground?
Basically, yes. And unlike in Just Cause, this does cause you to fall faster rather than land safely on the ground.
Okay.
All right, and our final story this week, I'll just read the headline. Is the entrance to hell located in Kansas?
No,
certainly not. Even though some people might consider Kansas hell, depending upon your particular taste and what you want out of life.
Insert, you know, Dorothy standard Gale thing here about have not been to Kansas.
Yeah. Insert Wizard of Oz joke here. Insert flat as a pancake joke there. Okay, we moved on.
Yes.
But, yeah, this is an interesting legend that's been getting a lot of attention lately.
Yes, if I were a haunter in Kansas, I would be trying to buy this land.
And what's fascinating about it is actually how little it's being exploited in some ways.
Yeah.
Long and short of it is, and this is all coming from a report by Brad Stevens at Blumhouse, Stull, Kansas, where the hell is Stull, Kansas? I didn't even look that one up. I should have.
Basically, a demolished church. Mm-hmm. Was rumored to be constructed over a stairway to hell.
Yes.
It was built in 1867.
Mm-hmm.
And it can supposedly open via magic during the spring equinox. Oh, eerie sounds. Yep.
Yeah, and basically, if you open up the Wikipedia article about Stull, Kansas, by the way, like 90% of the article is about the flipping cemetery and church.
Uh-huh.
So
where is it?
It's actually in the northeast corner of the state of Kansas.
Okay.
So that helps not much, but it's right near the border to more interesting states. Sorry, Kansas, I couldn't resist. But, yeah, what's interesting about it, though, is as you noted, it's not being exploited. The church was demolished. The church was built in 1867, and it was demolished, and no one knows when or by whom it was demolished.
Right.
The property owner went out one day and there was no church.
No.
There was a church then and then wasn't. I mean, the church was falling down. It was dilapidated, but they came back and there was no church. No. It was gone and nothing but the slab remained. So, and like I said, rumor is on spring equinox, you can open it via magic.
Yep.
But apparently, you are not allowed on the grounds. Major no trespassing signs, even around the cemetery.
Right. And they, around Halloween, they actually have enough people trying to find this stuff.
They guard it. Yeah.
They have guards around it.
And by the way, if you do get caught, it is actually like a $5,000 fine.
Yeah, they're not playing around in jail.
They're not playing around with us. But apparently one way to get in there is to be a filmmaker, as episode 22 of Supernatural was filmed there and is based upon the legend.
Cool little tidbit.
Yeah, so that I have you seen Supernatural?
No.
Not me neither. No, but it's pretty cool that a show filmed there is based upon there. But it's like you said, if I were in Kansas, mm-hmm. I would be exploiting this in some way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how, but...
Yeah. I bet they get a lot of flack, though, because it is in the middle of a cemetery, you know?
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, it's really interesting. Oh, and another interesting tip, I just learned this one from Wikipedia, like, right now. The band Urge Overkill released a EP called Stull, named after the town. And it's, haunted, I guess you would say legend.
Yeah.
And it deals with the, final confrontation of the apocalypse.
Interesting.
Yeah, the whole, it's pretty interesting, so yeah. I'd actually check that out.
This place actually does have a pretty interesting rumored history.
Yeah.
I don't know about actual history, but rumored history around it involving witches and Satanists and all sorts of, you know.
Well, I mean, haunts oftentimes go out of their way to manufacture this kind of history.
Yeah.
They have PR teams and websites and web videos, and they go to great lengths to manufacture and try to pretend to have this kind of history.
Right.
Stull has it hoisted upon them, and they're not doing anything with it.
Yep.
So yeah, I find this one really, really interesting, mostly because, like I said, they have commercialized it some, but they're not at all. No ghost tours, no haunt tours, no cemetery tours.
Yeah.
Nothing. You know, and this is, as a New Orleanian, that's like, if you point to something and say it's haunted, there's a ghost tour talking about it the next day right in front of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Next week in front of it. I mean,
yeah.
We can't. Well,
then again, we are the city that had the, you know, bus tours of.
Yeah.
Going back Katrina, to that ethical dilemma of doing. Yeah. Basically, there were bus tours of the damage of Katrina and the Ninth Ward and other places.
Yeah, and that was, I thought, pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, and it says here on Wikipedia that the church was torn down in March 2002, and it was, this thing says it was torn down because there were rumors occult rituals were taking place there, and it was being repeatedly vandalized. I believe it was repeatedly being vandalized.
Yeah, basically, that's what the article says, too.
Yeah.
Is that it served as an undercover place of worship for witches and Satanists.
Yeah, I see, that's the part of the story.
And that... And that the trees on the ground, you know, were rumored to be where they would hang witches.
But, you know, looking at the history of this town, I don't think more than, like, 100 people ever lived there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just don't think it's got that interesting of a history. Because it seems like the town itself has nothing but a bait shop and another church. I mean...
Well, yeah. Sometimes when you get a community that's small and close-knit, though, and then outsiders come in...
Yeah.
And people can surprise you. Let's just put it that way.
Well, yeah, I mean...
But the rumors, even if the history of the place isn't true, the rumors are interesting.
The rumors are very interesting. And the response of the community by not responding to them is very interesting as well, in my opinion, the way the community has handled it. Because I swear, if I were in Stull, I would probably have, you know, the Stull gift shop. The Stull.
You would have Stull candy.
But yeah, it is a fascinating story indeed. But yeah, that's all the news we have this month. It was a lot going on, though.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of unfortunate incidents. One lawsuit settled. Mm-hmm. And Disney making some big moves in the haunted attraction industry.
Right.
And honestly, I think it's actually kind of a big deal they're putting a bar in Tower of Terror. Because Tower of Terror originally was marketed almost exclusively as a kid/teen attraction.
Yeah.
It was not marketed to adults. See, it's not like Pleasure Island, which is an actual thing.
Right.
It's an actual thing in Disney World. I know my parents went to it when I was like a kid. My parents would go to it because that's all the bars and all the clubs and all that stuff.
Right.
It's not like that. Like you said, they had an area set aside for the adults. But, now there's more intermingling going on, which I find interesting, and I think it's going to change the flavor of Disney World.
Yeah.
Well, anything else? Any final thoughts? Anything else you want to throw out? I think we've had a pretty full show. I'm tired. I'm ready for bed. I don't know about you. Maybe not bed, but I'm tired. Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly Episode 20 as we were doing the late March, early April news. Thank you very much, and we will see you guys next week.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, remember, you can find us
at hauntweekly.com or on Facebook as Haunt Weekly or as on Twitter at Haunt Weekly.
This is getting old.
Sorry. It's like we planned it. Also, though, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere finer podcasts are distributed. Why they let us in? We have no stinking clue.